إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، can I continue on this chapter number 19 in Kitab al-Tawheed, from Kitab al-Tawheed. I'm reading the explanation of our beloved Shaykh Al-Walid Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan Hafidhahullah from his book Al-Mulakhas Fi Sharhi Kitab al-Tawheed. This chapter, قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله: باب ما جاء أن سبب كفر بني آدم وتركهم دينهم هو الغلو في الصالحين. In this chapter, he mentioned one of the reasons that leads the children of Adam to disbelief, and leave Tawheed, leave their religion that they were commanded to adhere to, which is Tawheed, Islamic monotheism, to kufr and shirk, because they go to extreme as related to the righteous people. They go to extreme. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of proofs. He began by mentioning the ayah 171 in Surah An-Nisa. Alhamdulillah, we read to you the explanation of that. We continue. قال وفي الصحيح عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما في قوله تعالى في سورة نوح: وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا. قال هذه أسماء أو هذه أسماء رجال صالحين من قوم نوح، فلما هلكوا أوحى الشيطان إلى قومهم أن انصبوا إلى مجالسهم التي كانوا يجلسون فيها أنصابا وسموها بأسمائهم، ففعلوا ولم تعبد حتى إذا هلك أولئك ونسي العلم عبدت. خرجه البخاري في صحيحه رحمه الله. وقال ابن القيم: قال غير واحد من السلف لما ماتوا عكفوا على قبورهم ثم صوروا تماثيلهم ثم طال عليهم الأمد فعبدوهم. The second proof that Shaykh al-Islam, Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala brought in this chapter, he says in the Sahih, meaning in Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith number 4920, says in the Sahih, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma have a comment on the verse 23 in chapter 71, and they have said, these are the people of Nuh alayhi salam who said this, when Nuh alayhi salam called them to Tawheed, called them to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And they have said, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave Wad, nor Suwa, nor Ya'ghuth, nor Ya'uq, nor Nasr. These are the names of their idols. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum has said, these are the names of some righteous persons from Nuh, people, from Noah's people, meaning from the people that Allah sent Nuh to them to call them to a Tawheed. When they passed away, when these five righteous men passed away, Shaitan inspired their people to set up statues in their honor and set them in their gathering places and to give these statues the names of those departed. They did this, but did not worship them. until these people passed away and knowledge of their origins were forgotten. Then they were worshipped. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that most of our predecessors have stated, after the death of these righteous persons, they confined at their graves and made statues, and after much time passed, they started worshipping them. Now, go ahead, inshallah ta'ala, I'll read to you the explanation of this proof, inshallah ta'ala, before we move to the next one. ترجمة ابن القيم. First, the Shaykh حفظه الله, he tells us something briefly about ابن القيم. He is الإمام العلامة محمد بن أبي بكر ابن أيوب الزرعي الدمشقي, تلميذ شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. He's one of the main students of شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. مات سنة 51 بعد المئة السابعة للهجرة. He died in the year 751 of the Hijra, رحمه الله. وله مؤلفات مفيدة مشهورة. And Ibn al-Qayyim, رحمه الله تعالى, he left many, many beneficial writings and books that he has written and compiled, رحمه الله تعالى. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he explained the ayah when Allah SWT says, لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ, as in the translation, the English translation, they said, you shall not leave your gods. But actually the Shaykh, he says, لَا تَتْرُكُ عِبَادَتَهَا, do not forsake worshiping them. That's what he means. Not just do not leave your gods, now do not leave worship in them, the Shaykh says. Meaning, continue to worship those gods. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Suwad, Suwa, he said, especially these ones. In general, do not give up worshiping idols, especially these five ones. Now, قَالْ وَنُسِيَ الْعِلْمِ, ونسي العلم, and when knowledge was forgotten, the Shaykh explaining some of the wordings of this author of Ibn Abbas, says, أيزالة المعرفة وغلب الجهال الذين لا يميزون بين الشرك والتوحيد. He says, and that's exactly what happened. When knowledge is scarce, now you find the majority are ignorant, and they don't have any knowledge to differentiate between Tawheed and Shirk, but the majority, many people, they are ignorant and they do not have any knowledge to differentiate between Shirk and Tawheed, so they fall into Shirk. Al-Ma'na al-Ijmali al-Athar, we'll read to you now the general explanation of this author of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يفسر ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما هذه الآية الكريمة بأن هذه الآلهة التي ذكر الله أن قوم نوح تواصوا بالاستمرار على عبادتها بعدما نهاهم نبيهم نوح عليه السلام عن الشرك بالله أنها في الأصل أسماء رجال صالحين منهم غلوا فيهم بتسويل الشيطان لهم حتى نصبوا صورهم فآل الأمر بهذه الصور إلى أن صارت أصناما تعبد من دون الله. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى says that in this author Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, is explaining to us this ayah, this noble verse in Surah Nuh, ayah 23 in Surah Nuh. And that these gods, false gods, that Allah mentioned, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayah, that the people of Nuh, they used to advise one another and to encourage one another to continue worshiping them after that their prophet that Allah has sent to them, Nuh alayhi salam, has forbade them from shirk, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people to call them to Tawheed, to Islamic monotheism. Because the people of Nuh alayhi salam, they worshipped idols, false gods. And this, these false gods that they worship beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality, they are names of righteous men. These are righteous people. They're righteous people. From amongst the people of Nuh alayhi salam. But the people, they went to extreme as related to how to deal and thread the righteous people. Yes, we respect the righteous people. Alhamdulillah, we honor them. But we never ever put them in a position above that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed them in. But these people, the shaitan has made easy for them to worship these people. They make statues for them. They make statues for them and pictures. And later on, they become idols and objects of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shaitan have different plans. First of all, he told them, look, these are righteous people. So make some idols for them and name them with their names and put them in your gathering places so that whenever you see them, you remember how righteous they were, so you will continue with their path. They will remind you of their actions until when people pass away, those who know the truth about them. And in a growth generation, they don't have no knowledge of that. Then the shaitan told them, these are your forefathers' gods that they worship. قال وما ذكره ابن القيم هو بمعنى ما ذكره البخاري إلا أنه ذكر أن عكوفهم على قبورهم كان قبل تصويرهم فهو يضيف إلى ما سبق أن العكوف على القبور سبب لعبادتها أيضا. And then he says, as for the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, it contains the same meaning of what al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned here, from the author of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, except for one little detail that Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned, that actually the people of Nuh, they used to go and sit by the graves of those five righteous men before they put a statues for them, they used to go at their graves and spend some time in there. So the Shaykh, he says, so he's adding this, that those people who spend a lot of time by the graves of the righteous people, that leads, may lead them to worship them as well. And that's the Quburiyun, that's the reality about the Sufis, the Quburis. They call them the Quburiyun. Why? Because they grave worshippers, wal'iyadu billah. They began to go to their grave, all righteous, and just sit there. And before you know it, as the time go by, they began to ask their grave, oh, help me, oh, cure me, instead to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the etiquette of visiting the graves, it is in the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, visit the graves, for indeed it reminds you of the akhirah. But we are prohibited to make the salat at the graves. is prohibited and the like, and it's strictly prohibited to ask those dead people anything. Rather, they are the one that need you to ask Allah to forgive them and to ask Allah to accept their deeds and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. From the Muslims, of course, we're talking about righteous people. مناسبة الأثر للباب. The relevance of this author of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما into this chapter, قال الشيخ صلاح الفوزان أنه يدل على أن الغلو في الصالحين سبب لعبادتهم من دون الله. He says the reason شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى brought this author as a proof in this chapter, because it is a proof that when people go to extreme as related to the righteous people, that leads, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, to worship them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, yes, alhamdulillah, we respect the righteous people. We know their makana and their position. We give an example. For example, Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah. That which they say about him and the life he had, subhanallah, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing with that man. He has left a lot of treasures for us in knowledge, in many things. But then, na'am, we love this man, Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah. We love him for the sake of Allah. And we respect him. And he's not like any man these days, except for those who reach his level of taqwa, piety, righteousness, level of knowledge, and the like. But still, we're not gonna go to extreme as related to Ibn Baz and ask Ibn Baz, oh, Ibn Baz, help me out. No, that's haram. That's shirk. Yeah, we respect him. We love him for the sake of Allah. The same thing about Shaykh al-Albani, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Muqbil, and all of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Why we take this course? Because of the little bit of knowledge we have, alhamdulillah. But the juhal, they go to extreme. It takes one person, like for example, the Sufis, when their so-called Shaykh died, I say they give out pictures. And they hang these pictures of that sheikh in their cars, in their houses, all over. And some of them, they humble themselves in front of this picture more than they humble themselves in front of Allah in the Salah. That's so much so that some of them, whenever they enter the house, they go like this for that picture. Sheikh, salam alaykum, sheikh. Yes. But in the Salah, they're all over. They don't know, wal'iyadu billah. So that's why it is very important to learn. Shaitan is very tricky and he has a lot of experience. So you gotta ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't you think, man, I know a little bit. Ask Allah for protection from the shaitan. ما يستفاد من الأثر Number one, أن الغلو في الصالحين Number one, أن الغلو في الصالحين سبب لعبادتهم من دون الله وترك الدين بالكلية. One of the benefits that the Shaykh brought from this author, going to extreme as related to the righteous people, leads to worshiping them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leaving the religion, Islamic monotheism. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ So a person should stay balanced. But that balance, you don't take it from anywhere. You take it from the Quran and the Sunnah. That's what gives us balance. We don't go to one extreme to worship the righteous people and think that they have something and they can do something or this after their death. And we don't go to the other extreme and not respecting them, not knowing who they are, not knowing their position. No, we go in the middle course. Number two, التحذير من التصوير وتعليق الصور لا سيما صور العظماء. Likewise, a warning against pictures and hanging of pictures on walls or anywhere. He said, especially the pictures of those people who have a position, a great position in the community. But unfortunately, once again, you see that. In some Muslim countries, you see the pictures of the kings and presidents all over the place. All over. They have pictures of, you go, for example, to visit a family and they have pictures of the king all over the house. You say, well, who is this? So that's the king. Oh, you can't have these pictures. He says, no, it's the picture of the king. And the way they humble in front of it and this, subhanAllah, it's amazing. Number three, التحذير من مكر الشيطان وعرضه الباطل في سورة الحق. Likewise, this author warned us against the plots of shaitan, the wicked plots of shaitan. And one of his wicked tricks is that he presents falsehood in a form of the truth. Because he told them, look, these are righteous people. And they're gone now. You guys put some statues for them so that whenever you see them, you remember them. You remember how righteous they were. So he presents the falsehood in the form of the truth. It looks like, as Sheikh Ubaid, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, says, looks like he was giving them advice. Sincere advice. See? Like he was giving sincere advice. Like he wants good for them. That look, these guys, they were righteous. They worshipped Allah. They were doing a lot of good. You got to remember them. But then shaitan has a plan, wal'iyadu billah. A long-term plan. Okay? Number four, التحذير من البدع والمحدثات ولو حسن قصد فاعلها. Likewise, this author can be used as a refutation against innovations and all newly invented matters, regardless the intentions of the people behind it. Even if their intention is good, even the intention of those people may be a good intention, but still, we do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by innovations and newly invented matters. Number five, أن هذه وسائل إلى الشرك فيجب الحذر منها. That pictures, idols, statues and the like, there are means that lead to shirk. You should be aware of it. Number six, معرفة قدر وجود العلم ومضرة فقده. Another benefit, the Shaykh mentioned, you should know the importance of knowledge and the harm. And the great harm actually caused by or caused to the people when they don't have knowledge. A lot of people hurt themselves and harm themselves out of ignorance. Out of ignorance. That's why one of the ulama says, وَالْجَهْلُ دَاءٌ قَاتِلُ. That ignorance is a fatal disease. And the cure to that is knowledge. Is the knowledge. Because knowledge is associated with certainty. While ignorance is associated with confusion. And we give you just one example. You're driving. Let's say somebody wants to drive here from Georgia to New York or to Massachusetts, to Canada. We got two people. Two drivers, two different vehicles. One has the proper directions, whether it's GPS or he knows where he's going. He took that route, truck driver. He took that route many years. And there is a person never been north, never left the state of Georgia, and he got no GPS, no direction, nothing. So what would you think? Of course, in the first example, that person, mashallah, he certainly knows. He can even tell you. If somebody asks him how he get there, he give him every stop, everything. Even when he stop to eat, and alhamdulillah, look, stop at this, the bathrooms are better. There is a place where you can pray, alhamdulillah, this and this. He give him everything, details. While the second person is confused. Confused. He don't even know where to go. Likewise, with knowledge, you're certain. You worship Allah upon knowledge, with certainty. You know that this is what you're supposed to do. This is what Allah has commanded you with. But the ignorance, they just follow the masses of the people. They just follow people and follow whoever is talking about Islam. That's why you find them in one Jumu'ah. For example, this masajid that are run by the ignorant, you see them, they invite anybody to give the khutbah. One Friday, they bring Ikhwani. And he gave him a khutbah about their madhab, the madhab of Al-Ikhwan al-Mublisin. And they all like, yeah, man, this is... The Ikhwani will come and use what's going on now in whatever. What's going on in Mali and Egypt. And blame the Saudi government. That's how they do in their khutbahs. Now, those ignorant, they hate Saudi government. And they start out going homes to their jobs. All they talk about what that person, that poison that person put in their minds in the khutbah. Next Friday, they invite a Sufi. A Sufi who may be very eloquent and call them to shirk. But yeah, it's okay. Now we believe in Allah. Yes, Allah is our Lord. But look, by respecting the mashayikh, now you say, oh shaykh, give me. Huh? But in reality, you're asking Allah, and they confuse them. They don't have knowledge. Then another khutbah, they may call a terrorist. Khariji. Who will come and give him a khutbah and say, look, all of these people are kuffar, your neighbors, families, their properties is halal for you. Yes, you can. And then you find people going out there with that poison as well. Then another khutbah, they bring one from the Ahbash, wal-iyadu billah. One from the Jahmiyyah, who come tell them, look, Allah has no names and no attributes. And people, that's why you see them, they're confused. They can't tell you anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you see those messages, they're confused. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the little bit of knowledge has given us. We ask Allah to increase us. Ameen. Number 7, أن سبب فقد العلم هو موت العلماء. And that the reason that the knowledge is gone because of the death of the scholars. Because of the death of the scholars. And we give another example in our time. Look at by the death of Sheikh bin Baz and Albani and Ibn Uthaymeen. SubhanAllah. Al-Muqbil. Because these four great imams of this time, they died all of them in the same time. Same time. In a space of a year and a half, 2 years at the most. Between 99 and 2001, all of them died, rahimahumullah. Bin Baz died maybe 5, 6, 7 months later, Albani. Another 10 months later, or 8 months, Ibn Uthaymeen. And then a couple months later, Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah. And we know the fitan, the many fitan and tribulation took place after their death. SubhanAllah. When they were alive, lot of hizbis and lot of, they were working, but they were waiting for the, as they call it, opportunity. Nah, they were just waiting. As soon as these great ulama, some of the people they used to call themselves students of Sheikh Albani, they began to refute Sheikh Albani. And they say that he don't know. He doesn't have fiqh. Yeah, he knows in hadith, but has no fiqh. Others, they say he's a murji'i. These are people in his life, they used to go and kiss up and our Shaykh, our Shaykh. Likewise, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he died, subhanAllah, a lot of people, they began to say things that in his time they couldn't say it. Likewise with Shaykh Ibn Baz. Likewise in Yemen, Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah, when he was alive, they couldn't say anything. He died, oh, subhanAllah. They stood up and they began to call to their bid'ah and innovation and dalalat. But alhamdulillah for the remaining of our noble scholars, those who are still alive, may Allah protect them. Amen. The like of our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Arabiya ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, and the Mufti, Al-Aziz al-Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Luhaydan, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, Shaykh Zayd al-Madkhali, Shaykh Salih al-Saimi, Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi, and others. Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahab al-Wasabi al-Abdali, Shaykh Hassan al-Banna in Egypt, and others amongst their noble mashayikh and scholars, whenever they may be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, preserve them, and increase them in knowledge and firmness upon the sunnah. And may Allah allow us to continue to learn from them. Number 8, التحذير من التقليد وأنه قد يؤول بأهله إلى المروق من الإسلام. Warning against تقليد, blindly following, meaning to follow people not based on knowledge, because this may lead those people to leave Islam. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, as related to taqleed, he says, as for the layman amongst the Muslim who don't have knowledge, mashallah, they know a little bit, but they don't know a whole lot to enable them to make a decision themselves. He said it's okay for them to follow one or couple of the great scholars, to follow the opinions of some great scholars, not anybody. Said that yes, it's okay for a layman people, they are not students of knowledge, they worship Allah, alhamdulillah, they love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's okay for them to imitate and follow the opinions and the examples of a great scholar. There's nothing wrong with that. For example, follow Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. These are our great scholars this time. You don't know this hadith. You have no knowledge of terminology of hadith. Is the hadith weak? Students of knowledge have to follow what Allah has taught them. But he said for the layman, yes, in a manner that there is a difference of opinion, you can't. You're a layman. We're laymen. We cannot just sit there and say, no, this because of this. We don't know. Yes, you can follow one of the mashayikh, as long, he says, that they are to be from the great mashayikh of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You don't follow Sufi, Ikhwani, Jahil. No, you don't follow those guys. Even though that other people are following them and they say these are mashayikh, says no, you follow a alim, a scholar from the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And it's okay for you. Barakallahu feekum. وعن عمر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. خرجه البخاري ومسلم. لكن قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب أخرجاه, يعني الإمام البخاري مسلم, لكن الحديث عند البخاري وليس موجودا في صحيح مسلم. Did you mention this hadith? Or actually, that Umar radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not exaggerate in praise of me, just as the Christians exaggerated in the praise of Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary. I am but a slave, so call me Allah's slave and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the footnote, it says, even though Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned that this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, they said actually the hadith is only in Bukhari, it's not in Muslim, wallahu a'lam. Tarjamat Umar radiallahu anhu. Shaykh tells us that Umar is Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn al-Nufayl al-Qurashi al-Adawi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, wa afdal al-Sahaba ba'd al-Siddiq, and he is the best of the companions after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu majma'in. استشهد في ذي الحجة سنة 23 الهجرة. He died as a martyr in the year 23 of the Hijra, because he was stabbed by the Majusi. He wasn't stabbed by a Muslim, alhamdulillah, somebody who claimed Islam. معنى الحديث إجمالا يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمدحوني فتغلو في مدحي كما غلت النصارى في عيسى عليه السلام فادعوا فيه الألوهية إني لا أعدو أن أكون عبدا لله ورسولا منه فصفوني بذلك ولا ترفعوني فوق منزلتي التي أنزلني الله. The general meaning of this hadith, the Shaykh says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, do not praise me and go to extreme while praising me, as the Christians went to extreme in praising Isa alayhi salam. They went to extreme in praising him until they say he is God and he is a son of God. And it's amazing that you find people who claim Islam, that they went to extreme as related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once again, the Sufis, who they, subhanAllah, they have a lot of falsehood in their belief. They believe that certain things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he warned against, going to extreme in praising him. Some of them, they believe, as their aqidah, that the Prophet ﷺ know the unseen. And that the Prophet ﷺ, he run the universe. And this is not true. لا يعلم الغيب إلا الله. No one know the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we learned from previous classes, from the unseen, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may allow certain people to know certain things. But in general, لا يعلم الغيب إلا الله. No one knows the unseen except Allah. Except if Allah wants some of His servants to know certain things, then He allowed them to know these things. Like the Prophet ﷺ, he knew things about the hereafter, about the Jannah, about the hellfire, because Allah allowed him to know these things. And that's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you find Sufis, when they celebrate those innovations, especially the Mawlid, yeah, subhanAllah. Some claim that the Prophet ﷺ come in person and celebrate with them. A'udhu billah. So Allah as-salamu al-afiyah. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he says, do not praise me in a manner. No, yes, we praise the Prophet ﷺ. He's the best of mankind. But we don't go overboard to extreme. That leads to worshiping him. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. He says, I am only a slave of Allah and a messenger from him. So describe me as such. Say, the slave of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do not praise me in a manner that you put me in a status that is other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in. We put him in a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put him in. And we say, Abdullah. Some of the Sufis, they say, don't say Abd. He's not a Abd. A'udhu billah. Because of their wicked understanding. And Allah mentioned him as a Abd. In many ayats in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet as a Abd. And as a servant and a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, look at the importance of knowledge. Some people, they do this, this is now, because we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they say to those who do not indulge in this shirk and this innovation, they say, you guys don't love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you love him as we do, they claim, you will celebrate his birthday. And you will think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still do things. Yes, he's dead, but he can still help you. Call upon him, wa'iyadu billah, shirk. Those who love the Prophet ﷺ and claim they love him, as Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan says, they should follow him, follow his sunnah. That's how we prove the love for the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, not to innovate things. Munasabatul hadithi lilbab. Now the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan tells us the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala selected this hadith as a proof in this chapter. قال أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن الغلو في حقه بإعطائه شيئا من خصائص الربوبية مما يدل على تحريم الغلو وأنه يفضي إلى الشرك كما أفضى بالنصارى بحق عيسى. But before I read to you the explanation of this in English, who remind us of this chapter? What is this chapter about? نعم أخي نور الدين. بني آدم. بني آدم.
بني آدم. أنه في غلو الصالحين.
أي نعم. English.
The cause of the children of Adam falling into kufr or apostasy is they're going to extremes with respect to the righteous.
أحسنت. See, that's why, because you gotta understand what this chapter is about. So that you can make this connection that the Shaykh has already made for us, alhamdulillah. Okay? And look at the importance of the ulama. If I was to be asked this question, or maybe, I don't know about you guys, I just speak about myself. If I used to be asked this question, okay, tell us why the Shaykh brought this hadith as a proof. There is so many hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Why he brought this exactly? Maybe I will say, well, he's the Shaykh, man, not me. See the answer? He's the Shaykh. I'm only a brother, man. But still, that's not going to benefit us anything. No, he's the Shaykh, alhamdulillah. But look at the ulama. He says, he brought this hadith because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith, he forbade ghulu, going to extreme. By giving him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, characteristics of lordship. Which is a clear proof that this ghulu is forbidden, is haram. And that it leads to shirk. As this is the cause actually that lead the Christians to shirk, wal-iyadu billah. As related to Isa alayhi salam. ما يستفاد من الحديث, some of the benefits. Number one, تحريم مجاوزة الحد في مدح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإخراجه من دائرة العبودية لأن ذلك هو الشرك بالله. It is strictly forbidden and haram to go overboard the limits while praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and taking him out of the status of ubudiyyah, that he is a slave of Allah. Some people says, no, you can't say that. Wal-iyadu billah, li jahlihim, because of their ignorance. Because if a person does this, if a person go overboard and began to praise the Prophet ﷺ in extreme way and say that he's not a servant, he's not a slave of Allah, then that's shirk, wal-iyadu billah. That's shirk. The ulama, they mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ once, he heard young girls, a group of young girls, they were chanting some poetry, a line of poetry, and they say, وَفِينَا رَسُولٌ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي غَدِي. They were saying something good about the Prophet ﷺ, but then they say, and amongst us, there is a messenger who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. These are young girls. The Prophet ﷺ, he corrects them, he says, no, nobody knows what's in tomorrow except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, شِدَّةُ نُصْحِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأُمَّتِهِ. Likewise, it's one of the ahadith that highlight clearly that the Prophet ﷺ was very sincere to this ummah by advising them, calling them to that which is good for them and warning them against that which is evil for them. Number three, أَنَّ الْغُلُوَّ فِي الصَّالِحِينَ سَبَبُ لِلْوُقُوعِ فِي الشِّرْكِ. Going to extreme in respecting the righteous, to extreme, because we respect the righteous, but going to extreme is one of the means that lead to shirk. Is one of the means that lead the people to fall into shirk. Number four, التحذير من التشبه بالكفار. That is extremely forbidden to imitate the disbelievers. And this hadith warns us, is a warning against those who imitate the disbelievers. We continue, inshaAllah ta'ala, next Saturday. We have two more narrations. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما.